Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Now, many of you are probably too young to remember that Mac Davis song from 1980. It actually did make it into the country music top 10. And I don't think that Mr. Davis truly thought that about himself. He really, in the song, was kind of making fun of stardom and celebrity and how it can all go to your head. But it made for a cute little ditty about someone who was very narcissistic and wrapped up in themselves. In the early days of the New Testament church, St. John did some battle against some people who truly thought that they could be perfect, that they were without sin. In his first letter, John takes on these false teachers who eventually would be known as Gnostics, and he corrects their false teaching with the true teaching. Three times in his first chapter of his letter, he starts off by saying, if we say, and then he inserts a statement that the false teachers were saying, and then he goes on to correct that false teaching with the true teaching. And we have one of those statements in our text for today from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thus far, the text. We have no sin. Ridiculous, right? To our Lutheran ears, those words might sound like nails on a chalkboard if we were to hear someone actually say them and mean them. After all, what do we do at the beginning of many of our worship services? We confess our sins. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. And not only that, not only are we sinful, but we sin in thought, word, and deed. So to say that we have no sin, to believe that we could be sinless, is, as John says, to deceive ourselves. You see, we're very familiar with how the Bible makes it clear that each and every one of us, by nature, the way that we're born, is sinful through and through. We have nothing good to offer to God, and our sin doesn't bring anything good into our lives. It only brings evil things. It only brings, ultimately, death, eternal death at that. All of the terrible things in this world, all the evil in this world, is really a result of our sin. All the wars that take place all over the planet, all of the fighting, the bickering, all of the aches and pains and sickness and cancer and marriages falling apart and kids rebelling against their parents and parents abusing their children, all of that is a result of our sin. We have put this world into a perpetual state of decay. To deny all of this sin in the world, would be, as John says, to deceive ourselves. In other words, to believe that we could have no sin is a lie, pure and simple. So aren't you glad that you don't take part in that lie? Aren't you glad that you don't claim to be without sin? Aren't you glad that you're on the I'm a sinner too bandwagon, along with any other self-respecting Christian? Now, granted, you're on a slightly different bandwagon than some other people. I mean, there are sinners and then there are sinners. All of those terrorists that are beheading people, all the murderers in the world, all the pedophiles. I'm definitely on a different bandwagon than they are. I am not on the same par as those evil people. Now, if you think that way about yourself, really you're guilty of the sin that John addresses in this text. You see, a sinner is a sinner. When we start comparing the gravity or the depth of our sin to others, when we put ourselves in a slightly less sinful category than others, we're really under that same false delusional cloud of believing that somehow we're better than others. In essence, we're saying we have no sin, at least compared to those other people. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, John isn't saying here that all it takes is for us to give a kind of a flippant, oh, well, yeah, you're right. I guess I'm a sinner. I've messed up here and there. If we're going to make an honest confession of our sins, we have to be willing to open ourselves up completely to God. We have to be willing to let him see everything, to see the filth in our minds, to see the despicable acts that we commit in the dark of night, hoping no one will see, to know those crude and hurtful words that spew from our mouths like venom. Now, I'm not saying that we have to feel like we need to get into a contest to see how repentant we can be, to see how bad we feel about our sins. Many times our confession of sin is going to be a little lacking. The important thing is that we admit that we're sinful and that we sin. God's word is very clear on this, and so are we. Now, the good news, well, actually, the best news is that God has taken care of this sin. We don't have to wallow in our despair and think that we do only have eternal death awaiting us. John said that God is faithful. After Adam and Eve sinned, he promised to send a Savior, to take care of this problem of sin. And he made good on that promise. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to this world to be the Savior from sin. This Savior, Jesus, came to this sin-ridden world to rid the world of all of its sin. And God, John says, is just. God demanded penalty. He demanded punishment for sin. And he got that when Jesus, his Son, died on the cross. When he went to the cross, he took our sin. He went in our place. And so that punishment that was supposed to be ours went to him instead. And God, in his justice, said the payment has been made. He declares us not guilty. And he does that for us individually when he cleanses us from all sin. Now, can you hear the water in the background there? Now, granted, there are a lot of different ways that we can cleanse ourselves today. We have those little bottles of hand sanitizer. We have the little contraptions at the openings of various rooms that we can cleanse ourselves. But in biblical times, especially if we were talking about cleansing something, water had to be involved. And we think about the powerful cleansing that water does provide, even today. When God poured water over you in your baptism, he washed away all of your sins. And then he put on you the perfect life, that robe of righteousness of his Son, Jesus. And so now when God looks at you as one of his children, he doesn't see the filth of your sins. He only sees perfection. He only sees the perfect life of his Son. He only sees someone who's going to join him someday in heaven. In a way, then, can't we say that we are sinless? We have no sin? Yes, we can. And we would be right. We do have that new man that's been created in us. But we also know that we have that old Adam, the sinful nature that is still a part of us and that will be a part of us until the day that we die or until our Lord returns. And so we are going to struggle every single day of our lives. And it's this struggle, this battle, this daily battle that Paul talks about in Romans 7 when he says, "Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." You know that battle, don't you? You know how it affects you every single day. You fight and you struggle against temptation, against evil desires, and you think you're making really good progress, and then wham! All of a sudden you fall, you crash and burn, and you're right back to where you started. Now, I'm not going to say, well, it's okay. Everybody does that. Don't worry about it. What I am going to say is exactly what John says. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will cleanse us or forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Keep confessing your sins. God's well of forgiveness is never going to run dry. Amen.